Welcome into Baltimore Sports Today for Friday, February 24th, 2017. This is episode 369. I'm Zach Will from BaltimoreSportsReport.com. Joined as always by my good pal, Jabby Burns. How are you today, Jab?
I am so excited. There's no Football Friday, okay? So if you listen in the 109s for the Football Friday, that's out. It's spring opener. It is your grapefruit opener today, by the way, Friday, Zach. I think we can coin that. Orioles on the field. I'm going through Rock Cabaco's, our good buddy Rock Cabaco's tweet deck here, checking out all the different things. And I came across something that kind of like warm the cockles, gets me really just kind of warm and fuzzy inside when I see that Orioles lineup posted by Mr. Rock Cabaco.
I know. Isn't that awesome? We had interest.
The lineup's not awesome, but well, it's pretty cool that they're on there.
Seeing a lineup is awesome. Yeah. Seeing the lineup picture is awesome. And we had interest squad yesterday, but today the Orioles have an opponent in the Grapefruit League, so that's...
Oh, and they're bringing out their big boys, by the way. The Tigers are today. Kinsler, Victor Martinez, Cabrera, JD, Upton, Infante. I mean, they're not messing around.
That's right. That's right. So if you're headed out to Lakeland, which is right down the road from me...
It is, huh?
Don't expect to see much. No. It is, yeah. Lakeland's right down the road. Yep.
Well, you know what they will get to see, Zach, and maybe a topic that we'll talk about after we get into our boy Matt Weider signing with our down the street rival Nats, is the depth on this team. We're going to see some guys that even look at the lineup today. You know, you're seeing your Mancinis, you're seeing whoever Schaefer is, your Santander, the one of the three Rule 5 guys that Dan grabbed this year. You know, you're seeing Johnny G, as I will call him, because you're the only person that can pronounce his last name.
G. Vitilla.
So that's the part that I'm excited to see, some of the depth that we expect to see at this team that I am, honestly, and you know I'm an orange-colored glasses guy, I am very nervous.
I in certain places I am as well. It's those roster battles are, even though we're very early into spring training, they're starting to take shape. You know, we're starting to see have a little bit more clear idea of who's going to be battling for what. You know, how the 25 man's going to shake out with the 40 man, some of those Rule 5 guys that are in danger of not being on the roster because somebody else comes in and snatches the job from them. So, it's going to be interesting in some spots. It's a little bit concerning in others. Injuries are going to be something that I continue to read about and have nervous, you know, cold sweats over with guys like, you know, Hardy and Britton and Tillman. I know Rock's piece this morning kind of answering those questions was something that he kind of alluded to having to answer quite a bit of over the next few weeks, and rightly so, because those are three very, very big names on this roster.
Oh, yeah.
That all have different concerning injuries, one an oblique, one a shoulder, one a back, and all of them concerning because the pieces behind them aren't necessarily the Orioles' strongest spot on the roster.
And the good thing is Hardy's not a guy that you would expect to get injured or anything, have a back or anything like that, right? And that hasn't happened the last couple of years ever since he signed that extension when Nick should have signed his too. But that's all in the past at this point. I'm with you. It makes me nervous. I expect to see Manny. I'm glad Manny's getting some reps at short in the WBC. Got to get a little plug for that, Zach. I haven't talked about that in a day. Hopefully he's going to take some reps at short so he can get ready because he might be playing opening day based on these quote-unquote injections that my boy J.J. Hardy is getting. I expect less and less time from him in the spring, which means I could see a disabled list type deal to start the season, which would be sad for the Orioles. But, I mean, at least they, you know, you do have Manny there playing, getting some reps. Question is, how much Ryan Flaherty can you handle at third base? And as you pointed out, some of the other things. And we kind of all forgot this now with all the things that have gone on here with spring starting, Zach, is Chris Tillman is on the shelf too. I mean, I know you just mentioned that, but I mean, that is your opening day starter that really not a lot of talk about it. We're going to give him it's almost like they gave him a shot, Zach, and said, you just sit in the corner for a little bit. And then, you know, like at the nurse's office back when you were a kid and just kind of wait for your mom and dad to come pick you up. Cause I feel like Chris Tillman is nowhere to be found ever since they got that shot.
Yeah. Yeah. So the latest on Tillman is that he's long tossing without any issues, according to Rock. He apparently told Rocky Bacco too that he told him that he feels like he could get hitters out right now.
Me?
But he would expect that Tillman's going to start the season on the DL. as we have all anticipated, could return.
So sad.
He said he could return on April 9th, but we'll pretend it never happened. So that's you know, when we look at depth on this roster, that's obviously the most glaring hole is what's behind your scheduled opening day starter, who is now not going to be the opening day starter. And you know, we kind of kicked around who it's going to be. I think, you know, circling Kevin Gausman's name is probably a safe bet. But who fills that spot? Because initially it was like, what, he's 2 to 3 weeks behind everybody else. So
yeah, but didn't we say that's a month?
Using Oriole's math, that's like exactly 6 to 8 weeks, you know? So who's...
I like Oriole's math. That's going to be my new Twitter.
So who's filling that spot when we look at the depth here? Who's jumping in and filling in for Chris Tillman for a month?
I don't know. Are you asking me to come up with somebody? Because I can come up with, I could just make up a bunch of, you know, Chris Lee's going to dominate the Grapefruit League and he's going to come in and take it. This kid Nuno, who the Orioles just pummeled yesterday, this new kid that they got from the Dodgers, right? That was the trade. They gave up the Mosley kid for Fidel Nuno, who gave up a home run to Manny Machado yesterday. And then our boy Beef Wellington also hit a bomb as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Dominicans are getting it together, right? They can figure it out. I don't know. I'm a little nervous that there's really, if we started the season today, Zach, I can't tell you who the fifth starter would be. And I think you and I both, again, it's really early in the Grapefruit. I understand Tyler Wilson could probably plug in if you needed him. I actually haven't scoured the schedule like I like to do, Zach, at the start of the season to see how many off days you have. You know, you have the day after opening day off. So that basically for the first week, at least you're not going to need a fourth starter.
Right.
There's usually some, you know, rain delays. Well, now it's like 80 degrees here. I don't know what's going on with the weather, Zach. It's been unbelievable. So who knows if there's going to have anything like that. So I'm with you. We need to know who the fifth starter is, but I'm more worried about the fact that nobody's talking about, well, actually people are saying it's a odd year, so Geraldo will be all set. Plus, it's contract year. Geraldo's going to be all set. By the way, Geraldo Martinez and Jimenez and Wade Miley are both in this rotation, by the way. I mean, like, this rotation. So, Chris Tillman aside, and who's going to be the fifth starter, let's remember. And we're also, that's all not remember, also that, and we did it on a BEV, if you want to listen to Bird's Eye View, or podcast of note, their last episode, we talked about it. They gave an over-under, stealing our bits, shocker. They said 120, I think it was 122 innings, 22 and a half innings for Dylan Bundy this year, over under. That makes me think he's going to miss some starts, right, in between there as well. So right now, in my opinion, the person you have the most confidence in the rotation is Kevin Gausman at this point. And that's based on, you know, last year was really good towards the end of the year. But we're putting a lot of pressure on just Kevin Gausman, not just for the opening day start, Zach, but basically to kind of anchor this staff for at least a month.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. That's a huge amount of pressure. And I mean, I know you threw the 120 out there on Bundy. That would be 11 more innings than he threw last season, too. So there's a ton of pressure on him because, you know, what's behind him? Like you mentioned, Miley and Jimenez, who we were looking to push out of the rotation all year in 2016. And now it's... you know, they're no longer hiding in the back. They're 3-4, not even 4-5. They're 3-4 at this point with Tillman out. So
I want to go back.
Huge concern.
Like 6 months, we were doing a show. I listened to our show and listen to me, like, just how bullish I was on the rotation and telling you that I loved it and how excited I was for next year. You're taking a next step and, you know, they're going to have all these starters and all this stuff. And now I'm honestly completely terrified. And I don't think I've ever felt this bad going into a season. Probably since the dark ages, like right now. I am not bullish on the Birds at this point. And I don't know why. I want to get it. Maybe I'll see some things happen here in the spring. Maybe me getting out in Sarasota, some of that fresh air and some of that beautiful golf will help me out. I don't know, Zach, but I don't know. The depth scares me. Obviously the starting rotation scares me, and these injuries that keep plugging up with, let's be honest, a lot of older players.
Yeah. Yeah.
So definitely. You're going to have to talk me off the ledge at some point because I cannot have an awful season. I can't watch the Terps, you know, poop down their leg and then watch the Caps lose in the second round to the Pens because of the dumb rule change. You know, this dumb rule change that they have now where they're trying to, the way the playoffs is and isn't just 1-8. Oh, God, I could go on forever, but I'm so bitter. So they're end up having to play the Pens or like the Rangers in the second round when they're going to have the best record. It's crazy. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I want to see more. I want to see some more moves. I understand these little moves that Dan's making is helping with the depth, which we're kind of talking about here, but I still am so nervous because of these older players. And the Michael Borden signing, I think, is huge because I think he's going to play a lot more than people think, especially defensively, the way Buck uses him. What do we know about Castillo? We don't know much. We know Caleb Joseph didn't have a hit or RBI last year, so he's at least going to have more than that. And speaking of catchers, Zach, our boy Matt Wieters found a place. And here's the biggest shock to this thing for me, Zach. The Boris and the Nats got together. I cannot believe that.
Isn't that a shocker?
I mean, Rizzo and Boros know each other?
What a huge surprise. That's exactly what I tweeted out to you. was that Mike Rizzo has never met a Scott Boris client that he doesn't love, which is just so true, man. Scott Boris just has the ear of I think it's more ownership than you know, Rizzo, although yeah. I don't know, man. They do not shy away from anybody that that Scott Boras has. And then that's formally announced that deal. By the way, MLB Trade Rumors, we're recording here at 9:20 in the morning on Friday. MLB Trade Rumors just posted their photoshopped picture of Wieters in a Nationals uniform. I don't know if you've seen that, but I've seen it.
It's so weird. The one I'm looking at actually had the curly dub, the Walgreens in the corner, and then still has an Orioles hat on.
Okay. Yeah. Check out MLB Matt Trade Wieters. Rumors on
you know
Twitter.
How creepy the internet is, and you know this better than anybody, Zach. I put in Matt Wieters, and the first thing that comes up right after in the old search engine is wife. I mean, really? These people are creeps out there, for God's sakes. So I'll take a look. Go ahead. No, I'm with you. It is going to be weird. I actually think that helps the Nats a lot. I think Matt's going to hit like maybe seventh or eighth in that lineup if you really start kind of going.
It's a good
down
lineup.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. You start looking at the top and Eaton and Trey Turner kind of leading it off there. You expect Harper to have a little bit of a comeback as he has. Or, to be honest with you, is the outlier season, Zach, the MVP season. Because if you look at Harper's years outside that MVP season, maybe that MVP season is the outlier as opposed to the other.
Could be. I still think he's a great player. I think he'll be better this year than he was last year. That's not going out on
a limb. Or will he
be
playing in 2 years, though? That's the question.
Where will he be? Well, that's the question for everybody. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Just keep in mind, guys sign extensions. That's the thing I keep telling everybody about this market that everybody's looked forward to for the past like 5 years. People sign extensions. They everybody was looking at this market and talking about how historic it's going to be. But you know, it might not be so great if Harper resigns, if Machado resigns. We might not be looking forward to it nearly as much when some of these names start inevitably coming off of that list. And they will. I don't know if both of those guys will, but a lot of guys will.
Yeah, and the Nats have shown they will give extensions to a guy with a terrible elbow in Steven Strasburg. I mean, I guarantee they wish they could take back that 175 they gave Steven. But they're throwing money out. Hey, Zach, they gave our boy Matt Wieters, so let's just give him a golf clap. Thank you for your time with the Orioles. I think it was 9 years, Zach, that he was with the Orioles, four All-Stars crazy. For Jesus and cleats. He agreed to a 2-year deal, $21 million. Here it is. There's an opt-out. Weird, Zach. The Nats are interested, would do an opt-out. That's odd. The move kind of comes as a surprise because the Nats had like 14 catchers in camp already, and one of them being Derek Norris, who I think only out-hit Caleb Joseph last year at the plate. Not actually he had a terrible year with the Padres. I took him in DraftKings all the time, and he was awful. And they have a guy that they really like there in Pedro Severino, I think his name is. He's kind of like the defensive guy that they had. They have Jose Lobaton in camp as well. But I think Matt Wieters is your starting catcher for the Nats on opening day. I think he'll be fine. I get to see Matt. The weird thing is because I watch, the Mass in both sides, I'll get to see Matt Wieters a lot more than maybe I would if he was on any other team.
Yeah, that's true. So do you feel weird about that at all? I know a lot of people were
I feel like he's been gone.
Not the Nats. And to me, it doesn't matter. It's any of the other 29 teams.
Why do we care about the Nats except for when we beat them in the Masson Cup?
Well, that's my thing, right? It's not. If you're upset about it, man, you've really bought into the the rivalry marketing that Masson's put out there. And hey, good for them. Here's an actual picture of Matt Wieters in a Nationals uniform.
Okay, good.
And that's weird too. Not a Photoshop picture. Yeah.
No. And by the way, if you're mad about Matt Wieters going to the Nats, you kind of got to back away from sports for a while and go for a walk. Yeah. Like go to a park, go see Zach down at Disney. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, go fishing. Like if you're really upset that Matt Wieters signed with the quote unquote rivals down the parkway, just back away for a little bit. Just, you know what I mean? That's just this little good, you know, because sometimes we all have to do it. Listen, I had to back away from the NFL for a while. I mean, Zach's had to back away from, Chipotle. There's things that have had to happen, you know, to kind of, you know, reel yourself back in. I think there's nothing wrong with Matt Wieters going to any team, let alone to the Nationals. It's not going to hurt us. We beat them in the Masson Cup. There's only four games this year. There's two here, two there. That same terrible bit that they're doing, not giving us a weekend. But I will say this, it does show that the Nats are at least trying to make that next step, which would be, well, first they have to win a playoff series, but to take that, it looks like this lineup right now, Zach, will score a lot of runs. I think they were fifth in runs last year, and I could just see, I don't know, I think that's got to be an uptick. I think Adam Eaton's going to be a much bigger addition than people think down there. I think Adam Eaton is one of those underrated guys that kind of almost like a triple double kind of in basketball, where he's just going to, you're not going to notice these gaudy numbers, but you're going to see him with a lot of runs scored, and with Trey Turner and him at the top lineup. And if you say Bryce is going to come back, I think Zimmerman has to have a better year as well. Rendon, I think, is still a really good player, ascending player. I don't love Jason Worth, but if he's like one of your worst hitters on the team at 38, then, and you got Matt Wieters hitting eighth, maybe seventh or eighth, I think that's a pretty strong lineup and should give the Mets. I think it's going to probably be the Mets and the Nationals in that division again this year. I think the Phillies are on the come myself. You and I both think that in a couple of years, they're going to be right there with what McPhail is doing up there. And also, I don't sleep on the Braves. I know they're young and everything, but I think the Phillips trade helps a little bit in the short term, but they have some guys in that system. Their minor league system, as Patrick has pointed out, is absurd.
Yeah, their minor league system is really good. I still think they're going to be a bad team this year, but
yeah,
they'll be new stadium, slightly Zach. Competitive in a new stadium. Right, that's what I was going to say. They signed guys that should be at least fun to watch, as opposed to the dumpster fire that their fans had to endure last year.
What city gets more new stadiums?
Atlanta, man. They got it down.
Georgia Dome, football.
They figured out how to spend taxpayer money on stadiums. Good for them.
Yeah, San Diego hasn't.
No, they have not.
So what's your lasting moment? What's something of Matt Wieters now that he's officially not with the Orioles and that guy's crying in the corner because he went to the Nationals? What is officially your final, thought? What kind of, you know how you always do the Nick Mark? I always think about you and the Nick Markakis one at the when they won the 2014 on the field. He's looking up and everything. Like, what about Matt Wieters that kind of brings to mind for you?
The one, I mean, he had some clutch hits over the year that we're super thankful for, and I could point those out. To me, when somebody asks me that question, I always think back to a story that I have told here on the podcast, but I'll tell it again. And it was in my early days at Masson, which, my goodness, when you said that Wieters had been here,
eight years,
which is crazy. I went back on Baseball Reference to take a look. Yeah, 2009 was when he made his debut, and I was starting my career there at Masson, and I was in the warehouse cutting together some footage from him in the minor leagues for a segment that we were working on OS Extra when I was working on that at the time. And I went down to a room to gather a huge stack of tapes of Wieters, and they're all labeled, you know, Wieters highlights. And I was holding them, you know, just stacked under my chin, riding an elevator, and the elevator stopped on a floor, and Andy McPhail was the guy that had stopped the elevator and walked in.
Did you hug him?
I wanted to, but my hands were full. And he looked over at me and he kind of laughed and shook his head, and he goes, you know, take it easy on the kid, because the hype at that point for Matt Wieters, I mean, was just huge. And I think that's what I'll really remember, was just the buildup. And that was kind of the turning of the page, right, for the Orioles franchise, kind of the beginning of this little renaissance that we've had, turning away from all the years of losing, and this sign of hope, this catcher that was going to come and rake and be a force behind the plate for the Orioles, and a switch hitter, and all those things that, you know, we looked forward to. That'll be the story that, you know, I'll never forget, because it was, you know, something a little more personal. I'm sure fans have specific moments in games that stick out to them for Wieters that are awesome, and there have been, you know, quite a few over his 8 years. But for me, I'll always remember that moment in the elevator with McPhail, thinking about the hype of that day, and then being there at Camden Yards when he made his debut.
That is, you have told that story, but it's honestly so great the way that you kind of detail it and the whole McPhail thing. And just going back now to think about that and how much tape you were cutting and all that, and to think about that from Matt's perspective, knowing that, think about that as like the pressure of yourself coming up there for your first major league game, all these people behind the scenes so excited. And I don't know. I think I have nothing but great things to say about Matt. I've heard things from people within the circles there that he's one of the best dudes there. He's on a Nick Markakis, Tommy Hunter type level with guys. Guys are going to miss him. You know, it'll be one of those where when they play the Nats, it'll be that Adam will be out in center field hugging like he does with all those boys out there prior to game time. He'll get a fantastic reception at Camden Yards. I don't think it'll be a Nick Markakis type love fest like they did for when the Braves came, because I think it's, you're going to see Matt. He's going to be a little bit more visible. I think Nick's a little bit more beloved for some reason. But I think in the end, maybe he didn't live up to the hype or the things that, like Andy McPhail had said, let the kid play. But let's be honest, four-time All-Star, eight years in the league. You got another two-year deal. He's making money. Never hear a bad word about it. Great dude. You know, I mean, I just give a golf clap for him. He came up with a lot. There's one thing about Matt Wieters, I will say. He might not have been the best at this, better, best at that. You know what he was good at, though, Zach? He came up with some big hits, like you said. He came up with some clutch hits that you were like, whoa, you know. Yeah, of course, I understand. I'm tired of seeing him pop up the ball to the infield and put his head down, have bad body language running to first base. But how many times, let's remember, just one that pops into my head here, it's pretty recent, is the one against the Angels when they basically, the Birds came all the way back from such a, you know, terrible deficit late at night. If you remember, if you're staying up late watching some West Coast baseball, and Wieters hit a walk-off, I think it was, or basically, and then Britton came and got the save. But, you know, some big hits and a teammate that's well liked and somebody that I'll look on fondly, and you know, good luck to him down with the Nats.
Yeah, definitely, absolutely. I'll be pulling for him, so hoping for the best for him, and yeah. And you got nothing but good things to say, and
yeah,
and hope it works out for the Orioles too, you know. I hope,
yeah, because by the way, if the Nats win, we get their money, so who cares?
So you should root for high TV ratings.
I do.
That's only a good thing for the Orioles, yeah, for now.
We kill them in that too, by the way.
We'll
the
never get an All-Star game, but hey, we'll get their money because of the TV ratings.
Oh, we're not getting the All-Star game this year?
Ever.
Didn't they just announce the next, like, 2050 is in somewhere else too? They're like always 4 or 5 years ahead.
It's going to be everywhere but Camden Yards.
Is it this year at the Nats Park?
Man,
I think it is at Nats Park this year.
Let's look.
I mean, why would I ask you that without just having that?
It'll be All-Star game. Google will know. Marlins host the 2017.
Okay, that's
All-Star
right. Game. So it's 18. It's in Nats Town in 18. Because why not have it in another National League park?
Yes.
And you know, it's so beautiful down there in D.C. That's a
it is 2018 park. That the Nationals have it.
So. Yep.
You can
I just
go over there
San Diego,
and take over that park, just like the Orioles do every year.
How dare you? We're just taking shots at the Nats. I mean, good luck, Matt Wieters.
Cheap shots on a Friday.
Yes.
All right, Jabby Burns. It is a Friday. Hope you enjoy the good weather there in Maryland.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be beautiful. And I got sour balls on the way. Thank you, my friend. Thank you to G Money and to all the other people behind the scenes that were able to get sour balls up here. And if you don't know what sour balls are, I'll tweet a picture of them. They're amazing, and you should get them every time you're down seeing Zach at Disney.
They are awesome, and they are Jab's jam. He's a huge fan.
So obsessed. What do I like more, sour balls or Tito's?
Ooh,
don't answer that.
Yeah,
man. Let's save that for a podcast.
It's like asking your favorite child. Come on.
Oh, we all know you have a favorite.
All right, man. Have a great weekend. Always good talking to you.
You
for
too.
Jab, I am Zach. Thanks for listening to Baltimore Sports Today. You two have a great weekend. We will talk to you again next week.